and I am now. Now that we're up and running, the board is right. Glenner had one button off. I'm going to blame Glenner because I don't understand all this fancy work. If it had a throttle and a brake, I'd be just fine here on a track. But anyway, so we are going to talk law enforcement issues. We've got a lot of cool new stuff to talk about, some of which we talked about on the radio show earlier, but that aired Saturday, so you might have heard some of the same stuff, but we got a lot of new information here. Start with last night. So I'm at Bobby's picking up an order to go, sitting there with Satterberg, and he had seen all this activity on 3rd Avenue, and Rena over there had seen somebody running over by Bobby's and then somebody with a gun. What happened? What was going on?
Well, that is a result of our cartel problem creeping into Fairbanks here. And we got cartel fentanyl that's coming into Fairbanks, fentanyl and methamphetamine.
It's a drug deal, obviously, going down.
Yeah.
Gone bad? Or?
Well, what happened was we have a drug unit, the Fairbanks Area Narcotics Team, that operates here in Fairbanks, and they're doing a very good job, and we're very proud of the work they're doing. Been asked for some assistance in a traffic on a suspect vehicle that received a tip on, and our patrol troopers responded, attempted a traffic stop. When the trooper was walking up to the vehicle, that Ford pickup truck took off at a high rate of speed and turned downtown into like a bumper car thing. Wow. It crashed into about four or five cars, impacted another, several other vehicles. And when it came to its final, it T-boned another vehicle going through a stoplight, and the vehicle is completely totaled. The suspect vehicle, black pickup truck, is just done.
Wow.
Our canine officer pinned the vehicle in. The driver jumped out of the vehicle, took off on foot. Unfortunately for him, the officer is also a canine officer, so he had backup there. So he launched the fur missile, and
I love that term.
Yeah, I got a bunch of them, like the fur missile, the carpet shark, the release the Kraken. Anyway, he didn't comply with verbal commands, and the canine was deployed and bit him. He had to make a pit stop at the hospital last night before going to jail.
Oh, I feel so sorry for him.
Well, you know, I mean, we don't make sure that gets infected.
Yeah.
Don't get infected.
Make
so, yeah, it caused a lot of, there was a lot of, mayhem in downtown Fairbanks last night as a result of that. And we certainly don't want for that type of stuff to happen. But, you know, whenever you're planning for things like this, the one thing you have to remember is that the suspect has a say in the outcome, you know? If he'd have just stopped, gone up, traffic stop, it could have been, you know, you could have left the whole thing standing up and everybody, handle it. But he did it his way, and his way was to crash into a bunch of, victimize, you know, four or five people downtown, take off running and go that route. So he had a say in that, and that's the way the cookie crumbles,
so,
I guess.
So I guess the question I've got, Was there a tip or?
Yes, there was.
There was. So if you see something,
say something.
Right. I think I've heard that from you before.
And I got to tell you, having worked in the Criminal Intelligence Center before coming here to Fairbanks, I recognize and value the importance of human intelligence, that human information. Something's going on. There's dirt going on out there. Somebody knows about it.
Yeah.
And
unless they're involved, they're probably. Would consider saying something. Some people just have that, I don't want to get involved, but
I know.
Then you have to think about the results of not getting involved, right?
So. Indeed. And, you know, let's reflect back on that, the Two Rivers arson investigation. A $27,000 reward was put together by the community for the information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for that whole thing out in Two Rivers. And guess what? Two people shared that $27,000.
Wow.
Cash reward when we got the arrest and conviction. I prevented the checks out at the community center out there in Two Rivers. But my point for bringing that up is I'm going to bring something else to the table. And I'm going to tell you that we have got enough problems right now in Fairbanks with burglaries and thefts, homicides going on, all this. I'm going to bring something else to the table. cash reward. Okay. I worked in the drug unit from like 2005 to 2011 down in Anchorage, and I know that cash rewards help. By putting cash in somebody's pocket in exchange for information.
That's a tipping point. So
there's a tipping point. When you're talking about $500 to $1,000, think about what $1,000 in your pocket right now could get done.
Yeah.
Heating oil and the fuel tank.
About a week's worth of heating oil.
That's what we're all thinking. It's like 35 below.
Yeah.
Heating oil. I buy a lot of heating oil down in sourdough. Anyway, so what I'm saying is cash in people's pocket. Now, how does that, how does that look? Okay, it looks like this. Let's say that you know that there is a bunch of people out there and they're planning on doing a burglary on somebody who's, let's just say they're like a snowbird up here and they got a place in town and there's going to be a burglary that happens there. If you provide that information to us, like when and where and who are going to do that burglary, we can go ahead and deploy surveillance teams, certain technologies and whatnot to catch them.
That's money talks, right? So we
indeed.
I love the fact that there's a little incentive. We'll talk about where that money comes from and how it gets dispersed and stuff. We're going to take our first break here. I think I can do this without setting the studio on fire. So we'll be right back after a word from these sponsors on the Problem Corner Show. All right, we are back here with Captain Eric Spitzer. My vote for Employee of the Year here in Fairbanks is just my opinion, but actually it's not just my opinion. A lot of us in the Laundry House Gang are real impressed, really happy that you come to our weekly meeting and give us a report on what's going on. We were talking last night about, talking before the break about the big incident downtown and then also about the reward process. Where does the reward money come from?
So about, I'd say, 80, somewhere in the area of like 70 to 80% of our problems in town here are related to drugs.
Okay.
And you pick any problem, it's usually drug or alcohol related. It's got roots there, someone burglarizes a place. What are they doing? They're stealing stuff or they're shoplifting at a store, taking something that doesn't belong to them so they can sell it, to turn it into money, to turn it into, to feed their habit of methamphetamine or fentanyl, whatnot. So I contacted the drug unit and I said, look what we have here. We got overlapping areas of responsibility. We got our patrol guys are responding to calls for service for thefts and whatnot. You guys in a drug unit responding to, the drug problem, and they're overlapping. What if, and like anytime we do like a burglary roundup, there's always this drug nexus. They're doing it to support the drug habit. So I talked to the drug unit. I said, what if we could provide rewards and they have money available for that to cultivate informants and whatnot to pay for information that has a drug nexus. So if there's a burglary that's going to go down to support drug trafficking or drug users, we get the money into the hand of an informant, a confidential source, a source of information, whatever you want to call yourself. Some people call it a snitch. Hey, if that's what you want to call it that. I don't care. I'll tell you this right now. If someone put $1,000 in my pocket to snitch on someone doing dirt, I'd gladly do it.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, and this is a darn good community we have here. Unfortunately, we got some ne'er-do-wells that are kind of messing things up for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm just glad no one got hurt last night in that whole situation.
Yeah. So, and on the money side, so like if there's a drug deal goes down, obviously the drugs get destroyed or shipped, or you take care of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But as far as the money, when there's money involved, let's say you got $12,000 cash, is that, what is that, what happens with that money? Does that, can that go towards rewards? I don't know how this works.
So a lot of times the proceeds from drug trafficking will get shared, generally like you have the Fairbanks Area Narcotics Team, part of this thing called HIDA, High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area. And that is usually, those proceeds from drug trafficking would be seized and then distributed by U.S. Marshals Service amongst the agencies who participated in that investigation. Let's say, like, okay, so DEA is involved there, AST, Fairbanks Police Department, North Pole PD, whatever. All those departments, they would share in like a seizure sharing. And I may be a little, this may be a little bit antiquated information, but they're getting like 20% of that. And it would go towards ballistic vests or ballistic helmets, cool, or law enforcement.
So the more successful you are with your drug enforcement division, mm-hmm, in a way, I mean, the more successful, the more busts you make, you're gaining some revenue, yeah, or some to help keep fighting this problem, right? So it's,
yeah,
in a way, it's working that way. I always wondered how that worked. What do you have to do? Do you have to wait till there's a trial? Do you have to, I don't
know. Oh, yeah, that has to be adjudicated, yeah, and then the forfeiture
funds
process.
Funds are held. Mm-hmm. I see.
Like the U.S. Marshals, like we did a big case back in early 2000s, and we had boats and, you know, Bourget choppers and jet skis and airplanes and hot rods and race cars and all kinds of stuff, four-wheelers, all that. That gets sold at a Marshall's auction, and then those, and then that currency gets,
yeah, that makes sense,
goes,
yeah,
towards like law enforcement data, intelligence databases and things like that, where I don't say the databases, but the tools that we have for investigations.
That's great. And we're talking with Captain Eric Spitzer. You can call in at 907-458-8255, 458-TALK. We're going to take a call here. Let me see. Hello, you're on Problem Corner. Your name is?
Yeah, name's Phil. Hey, I tuned in late. My wife observed a canine pursuit yesterday. Was that anything related to what you're talking about?
That's probably it. That was the only one we did yesterday. It was downtown.
Okay, could you rehash that real quick?
Well, what happened was we attempted a traffic stop on the guy. He failed to yield to the traffic stop, smashed into a bunch of cars downtown, then fled from his vehicle, didn't comply with verbal commands from the trooper, and then the canine was released, and the canine bit him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my wife saw the pursuit and heard some yelling, and we've been talking about it, trying to figure out what happened. Hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. So, oops. That is a good story, and I know we might have a caller in the back half of the hour that's going to tell a little story about an incident that happened to him. We've got a lot of stuff. The Nenana story. Can you just, for those that haven't heard it, it was in the paper, and we talked about it on the radio, but summarize that story. I love this story.
Oh yeah, we are very proud of Sergeant Joel Miner. He's Trooper Sergeant assigned in Healy, and he's responsible for our Parks Highway guys. And he was responding down to Nenana to a neighbor reported that this guy was seen fleeing from this house that is, it was not vacant, but it is unoccupied. The guy worked up on the slope. So it was suspicious circumstances. Called the troopers. Trooper Sergeant Joel Miner responded. When he got there, he saw all the footprints coming out of a window. That's suspicious. Yeah. Contacted the homeowner on the slope. He's like, hey, nobody's supposed to be in there. You got permission going in. So he went into the house, saw the safe was broken open. Some guns were staged over by the window.
He's coming back
for him. Oh, he's coming back.
And Joel thought,
And I'll tell you, Joel Miner is a very forward-thinking, forward-leaning, in the foxhole kind of guy. And he also worked in the drug unit as a task force officer for DEA down in Anchorage. So he's got this very unique perspective about this relentless pursuit of criminals And he's like, well, you know what? He called the homeowner and said, do I have your permission to pretty much just like stake out inside your home and wait for this guy to come?
Who wouldn't say yes?
Absolutely. You know what I mean? So the homeowner's like, heck yeah, you know? So there was apparently two handguns stolen when the guy took off. He took two handguns with him. And this whole thing kind of started around like 9:30 at night, and then it kind of came to an end at about 3:30 in the morning when the fella come back, climbed back in the window, and got a big surprise from Sergeant Joel Miner, who's about, I don't know, he's about 6'4", 6'5", and about 270 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, hell, death, and destruction. You know what I mean? Like you just stepped into the trap.
You know what I mean? You have a feeling of this guy. He thought he's getting all these guns, and then all of a sudden he is. And a repeat criminal. I mean, he's
a felon. He shouldn't even be messing with guns, let alone breaking in people's houses and stealing guns.
Court issue, man.
One thing I wanted to mention is that not only that, but like then Sergeant Miner took it to the end zone by following the footprints from the bad guy back to the bad guy's house, applied for a search warrant for that house, then recovered the two handguns that the suspect had stolen, allegedly, from the victim's house. Wow. Not only that, but he also found a sawed-off shotgun and... A homemade suppressor, which did you ever hear the phrase "don't make a federal case out of it"?
Yes, that's the suppressor.
Well, we're getting into that area now.
Well, it's a feel-good story.
I think so.
We got another call. We'll take it. Hi, this is Craig on the Problem Corner Show with Captain Eric Spitzer, and your name is?
My name is Tim Green.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Pretty good.
I was expecting a call from you. It's good to hear from you. I know you've got a little story to tell about an incident that happened. We'll probably have to start it, and then I have to go to break here in about 5 minutes. But why don't you let us know who you are and what happened?
Yeah, well, I'm Tim Green. I've got a company, Northwest Mining. I've been in the country since, I think, 1979, we started mining. And things have gone real well. We enjoy Fairbanks. That's where my home is, you know. I suppose you heard, you know, early December, we had a break-in. A bunch of thieves that had got through the gates and cut all the locks on the shops and on the Connexes and surrounded with a bunch of rifles and some mammoth ivory and a few different things like that, you know. And so anyhow, I really didn't find out about it until the 20th of December. A friend of mine, his wife, was driving by and saw the gate open. But so we called the troopers, and the guys in the shop there, they're usually hanging around the shop, they met the troopers there and realized that it was much more of a deal than just a. At first, we were missing my wife's vehicle. They'd taken off with that, and that was the noticeable thing. And the trooper he called up this CSU unit for the Fairbanks Troopers, and so they came back and everybody met there at the shop. And I just have to say, I have never, ever in my life been more impressed with a group of guys. There's four troopers, so there's probably a lot more working behind the scenes, you know. But Captain Spitzer, what a guy. And he's got Trooper Norris, Trooper McAfee, and also Trooper Mobley. And they tied into this case, you know, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger, you know. And I just so appreciate their work. You know, my whole life I've been paying tickets to state troopers. You know, they always want you to don't get to the officer association, you know. And I always tell them, well, I pay through the window usually. I just can't say enough about that group. You know, that I as I understand, I think that was that CSU unit was established here 3-4 years ago. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And Tim, and I was involved with that case actually, just as an expert witness on the value of the snow machine that they stole. So they stole hundreds of thousands of dollars, or over 100 grand worth of stuff. And these are repeat offenders. These are names that we've seen before. And so hopefully there's some serious pressure to put these guys away for a while, because Spitzer and his team are doing everything they can to get them off the street. And it's not their job to do more than that. After that, they need to go through the system and really, be responsible for what they did.
Right, right. And you know, Craig, you've been a victim of some of these deals too. You know,
yeah.
And you've been in business for how many years have you been?
Yeah, almost 80. And yeah, we've been hit a few times too. I feel a lot more confident now. Tim, I got to go to break. If you can stick around on the line, I'd appreciate that. We'll catch you when we come back from the break. We're talking with Captain Eric Spitzer, and we're going to go into the break.
Okay. Sounds good.
Battery on your phone?
Yep. Failing on my diet, better take these away.
All right, Fairbanks, welcome back. I'm here with Captain Eric Spitzer. We're talking about happy endings on, in police stories. Tim Green, are you still on the air with us?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, so Tim was telling us a story, a personal story of a major theft that happened to him this winter, well, just a couple weeks ago, really 3 weeks ago or whatever, and it was in the paper. And I know that, you like I are really impressed with what's going on here. I've been in Fairbanks my whole life. I've never seen this level of just strategy, I guess the word is. It just seems like, and of course there's things that help. There's new technology with tracking and all the stuff we never had before. But you got to have a plan. And these guys, have, in your case, it's perfect. I mean, some of the strategy and some of the, you know, what they used to call entrapment, but it's not. These are bad guys doing bad things, and you got to take whatever measures you can legally to take care of them. So, and that's what happened to you, Tim, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, like you say, these aren't just the average dope head that
right.
comes through. They're career criminals.
Yeah, they are. And it's really good to have this group of them. How many, Captain Spitzer?
Six.
Six of them. Six of them off the street. And a good percentage of the material, I mean, of these items are returned now.
Yes, we're still we still have firearms that we're still looking for, particularly that Barrett 50 cal. And I'll tell you right now, like if that Barrett 50 cal finds its way into our hands, we'll put $1,000 into the person's hands who gets it off the streets. That's that important to us to get that gun back and the suppressor.
And they can remain anonymous. I'm guessing.
I mean,
they don't want their name in a paper, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is we're not going to blow it up who came in and yeah, told us about that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that that gun gets off the street, $1,000 goes into their hand. And I think the whole community is much safer afterward.
The neat part about this story, too, is after the items were stolen, you guys did a little sting operation. tell us about that.
Well, it's an interesting thing. Tim, you can chime in here, but... you know, we were discussing the strategy of investigating this burglary and these thefts. And, you know, I was talking to Mr. Green and said, hey, what are your thoughts on if we offered a reward for information leading to the arrest conviction and getting these guns back?
Yeah.
And Mr. Green, he said, yeah, I'll put up $1,000 to get the guns back and resolve this case. And so when you do a reward thing like that, the whole idea is, okay, someone says, hey, here's the gun. You know, this is how it came into my possession. This is how I learned about its location. I'm bringing it into you because I think it's the one. And then can I get a reward? Well, that's not what happened. The person that wanted to collect the reward didn't contact AST like we wanted to. They went directly to Mr. Green and then used tactics that are a whole lot like coercion, extortion, and just downright like demanding and like a whole like threat, actually threatening him in one transaction, in one interaction over the phone or the text messages and whatnot. We ended up recovering some of the guns and that little ne'er-do-well
is one of the six
of the superseding indictments that the criminal suppression unit put together. And I'm telling you, they're not done. There's still I still believe that there's more information out there on other co-conspirators, and we're not going to let go with this. And that whole relentless pursuit is how the criminal suppression unit attacks things like this.
And that's kind of how it went, Tim.
Eric, that's the amazing part about your group here. It's just, you talk about an on-the-ball crew. You know, I watched you guys work the first couple of weeks, and I think Norris told me that each one of the guys had put in 70 hours a week for the first 2 weeks on this case. Because, a lot of rifles have been taken and different things like that, and I'm sure, the push was to get them off the street. And...
Oh yeah, I mean, when there's blood in the water, we got chum in the water. I mean, it's time to fish. You what do they say? You got to make hay when the sun shines. And like when it's go time, You have to, you know, kind of seize the initiative and push that case when it's go time. And we were definitely having things happen. And I told the guys, I said, listen, leave no stone unturned.
Yeah. Well, that was the case. That was the case. And, you know, I almost feel for you guys because, you know, you guys do such a bang-up job, and then you call them into the jail, and then they turn around, the DA, and I'm not going to pick on anything here until everything is, you know, we're watching, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of business looking at how this thing is going to be handled. And, you know, soft on crime, where they let those guys out with a slap on the hand, or the plea bargain it down, it just doesn't cut it, because you're dealing with career criminals that come out, and all they do is cut them out, and they screw up someone else's life, you know, a month or two later, 6 months later. They all have a rap sheet, and most of them are felonies. And so, you know, Craig, actually what I've been thinking of is putting a petition together for all the business heads in Fairbanks, because we're all tired of it.
Yeah, we are.
Everybody has a...
Yeah, and it's driven most of it by drugs, and so it seems like it's, you know, I know Captain Spitzer told me once, you don't want Fairbanks to become Anchorage, and Anchorage is a real mess. So,
yeah.
Tim, I want to thank you for your honesty and just being able to come on and tell a real story that's got a feel good ending, than a story that isn't over yet. So, really appreciate you tuning in, and we'll be on the air again later and hopefully get the rest of those guns off the street. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Green.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We've got another call we're going to take before the break. So try that here. Hello. Welcome to Problem Corner. And your name is?
Hi. This is Melody.
Hi, Melody. How are you doing?
I'm well. I wanted to know, I lived in an area that had a neighborhood watch sign, but I couldn't figure out who was in charge, and then I found out it's very independent. You go online, get a sign, post it. But is there any support from the police or the troopers, neighborhoods that want to form a neighborhood watch and get signs?
That is a great question, and I've got an answer for you. I actually started a neighborhood watch in a community where I lived before I moved to Fairbanks, and it is generally started by motivated people like yourself within that community, within that neighborhood. They get together, they put together either like a Facebook page or an email group, and they share information, they share camera footage, and like, hey, there's this weird vehicle in the neighborhood. Anyway, what I'm getting at is, yes, you can obtain signage and post some signage up there in the neighborhood. And what we would do is, if you came to the state troopers and said, hey, listen, for example, like, hey, let's say you lived out in Two Rivers and you're like, we want to start a Two Rivers neighborhood watch, and we want to have a liaison trooper to work with us and come out on, like, hey, maybe you have your meetings once a month, and the trooper would come out for an hour or so, attend your meetings, and listen to your concerns. And then also provide some best practices and some training on home security and you know best practices and being a hard target. And we would try and find a trooper who actually maybe lived in that neighborhood as well to be on that neighborhood watch with you. So yeah, we would do that. And if you call 907-451-5100, we can sidebar that and discuss that and figure out a trooper that would be best suited for that.
I just want to give a quick shout out to the troopers I have called for nefarious vehicles parked at the end of our dead end street, and they have been very good about coming and patrolling the area. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And I got to tell you that my thanks to you as a caller, because it's people like yourself that when they see something strange, they call it in. And maybe the vehicle's gone by the time the trooper gets there. But if you call in the license plate of the vehicle, it goes into what's called this CAD system, computer aided dispatch. And then later on, we find out, oh, hey, that that same vehicle was a suspect vehicle in a burglary, a theft, or whatever, and we can kind of string this together. And it might be that one little piece of that little straw that broke the camel's back in our in bigger investigation. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and thank you, caller. Appreciate it. It's good, good comments and a really good question about the neighborhood watch, because that is important. We have one up in our neighborhood. We have one at Harding Lake where we've got a bunch of folks. So we are going to take a little break here, and we'll be back. Have a little bit of fun and a couple more neat topics to talk about. I've got Captain Eric Spitzer. The phone number here is 907-458-8255. That's 458-TALK. Feel free to call in, and we will wrap this up after this commercial break. Watching my TV.
says it's 95 in Phoenix, and that's what tortures me.
It was appropriate time for that song. We got to play it once during the cold snap. But we're here with Eric Spitzer just having some fun and talking about success stories of the troopers. And off break, we were talking about a couple things you wanted to mention.
Oh, yeah. So there's been some back and forth about doing a Fairbanks AST Facebook page. We kicked it around with our public information officer and decided, why don't we just make posts onto the official Fairbanks Facebook page that already has 93,000 followers.
Wow. Wow.
And what a great opportunity for information sharing. And like we have talked about in the past, we've taken it up a notch with our Interior Alaska Briefing Board communication amongst law enforcement, looking for stolen vehicles and bad guys and stuff like that. What if we take it up a notch and put it out there for the public to see and show, like, for example, that 1998 blue GMC plow truck with the brand new Meyer $7,000 plow on it that got stolen off of Dale Road over there.
Yep.
So we post that to the Facebook page. Followers see the picture of the vehicle. Oh, that's a stolen vehicle. And then that vehicle, instead of having just 200 cops in town looking for it, 200 law enforcement members in town looking for it, we've got 93,000 followers also keeping an eye out for that pickup truck. And then if you see it, call it in 451-5100, and we deploy some units over there, and we can get that back to who it belongs to.
And the important thing there is not just to get the vehicle back for the customer. It's usually a drug-related deal, so you might be able to take a real bad guy off the street again. So so these are things that everybody that's listening can do. You can visit the Facebook page. You can watch for those vehicles. Heck, just write down the license plate number on a little notepad. Keep it in your car and know what kind of vehicle it is. And just, you know, as you're in an intersection, or you never know. These people, they're not the sharpest knives in the drawer, right? I mean, they'll go drive out and do stuff that they just have this, I think it's the drugs driving it, that they just feel like they're going to be okay. They're not going to get trouble. Or they're going to get let right back out on the street, which we got to fix that too.
And every one of us has got a cell phone in our hand. And like you see something like that, turn it on record, make a video of it, take a picture, whatever, share it with us. If you're passing the vehicle, get a picture of the driver without, you know, endangering yourself or like, you know, being distracted from driving, crash or something like that.
I had a story years ago. My wife was at an intersection at Steeson Farmers Loop, coming out of the Viewcrest area. It was stopped there. The light was red. It turned green. 8 seconds after it turned green, I mean, she was creeping out because it was wintertime, whatever, and a truck going over 100 miles an hour, 8 seconds after her light turned green, blew through the intersection. Literally, there was two cars coming, took the license plate off of one car.
Wow.
That's how close it was.
Yeah.
She stopped because she saw it, and she stopped. You should always look even if you got a light. And the reason we know this, there was an Asian lady at that intersection with her iPad doing a class at the university on traffic lights. And she happened to catch this car, this truck, black Dodge, going blown through the intersection.
Wow.
The kid was on drugs. They caught him, and they couldn't arrest him for anything, I guess. But it was kind of neat. So, yeah, if you got your phone in your car, I mean, if you're stopped and it's safe, you take a picture.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. Recruitment or what else?
We have some other things to talk about. Right now, as people are listening, everybody out there knows somebody who would make a good dispatcher, a good court services officer, a good state trooper. And I got to tell you, in each one of these areas, we're constantly recruiting. Right now, there's 6 vacancies available just in the Fairbanks area for state troopers. Amongst our dispatch center, I think there's like 8 or 9, maybe even like 10 vacancies in that dispatch center. We need to get some dispatchers hired. I would encourage anyone, I could send you the state trooper webpage or the Workplace Alaska, whatever. But like, if you're really interested, call 451-5100, talk to a dispatcher there about if you show some interest, and they can give you some guidance on that. If you're interested in becoming an Alaska state trooper, I'll tell you what, just stop by the trooper post. Let us know at the front door there. Call 451-5100 if you want to. We've got an Alaska state trooper webpage. Go to the homepage. It says you just follow the instructions. It has videos on there about how to go through the application process. It's really easy. Well, not real easy, but it's not real easy. But the website makes it easy to negotiate, and it shows you how to go about it. If you're interested in a career in law enforcement, I'd encourage you to follow that.
And now you got a traffic ticket or two in your past. Don't worry. That's not going to stop. And if you got bodies in your basement, different story.
That's different. But we're not looking for perfect people. We're just looking for people that can tell the truth.
Yeah.
And do the right thing when no one's watching.
Yeah. Okay. And then on a side note, here we have, one thing we get as a bonus with Captain Spitzer, in addition to a great leader for law enforcement, we've got a local comedian. So we had some fun with that. You were on Funny Fest.
Oh yeah,
that was fun. You did. You rocked it. You were great. That was really funny. I encourage people to. You might be on. The Dark Winter Nights is coming up. There's a chance you're going to get on that. I think that's in February. I thought it was March, but it's in February. So that would be good if you just get folks. You got to come see Captain Spitzer when he does his comedy gigs. He's great. So it's neat to have the head of police that's also got a sense of humor, and he's got a good one. So enjoy that, huh?
Yeah, they say that it's a good sense of humor is necessary in law enforcement, because a lot of times if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Yeah, right.
But and
the story you told, and I just the headline or the title of your gig, what was it?
These Aren't My Pants.
These Aren't My Pants, which was a true story.
Yeah.
You busted some guy.
It's not just me. It's like everybody who catches somebody and they got a fat sack of meth in their pocket. You know, as soon as they get the handcuffs on, they go to pat them down. It's like, oh, these are my pants, as if that's some kind of affirmative defense or something. Like, okay, here's your driver's license. Here's keys.
Okay, yeah, we understand. We accidentally put on a criminal's pants.
Yeah.
All right, we got one more call here we're going to take. Hi, this is Craig and Captain Spitzer on the radio. Who have I got here? I got nobody. They hung up. All right, we'll call back. You got a couple of minutes, but. Yeah, no, I just thought that was priceless. I mean, absolutely priceless. And then you were sitting there in your comedy gig trying to say, I tried to envision how anybody could be wearing the wrong pants, somebody else's pants. There's no way to do that.
Oh, yeah. Like, what set of circumstances would have to play out? And I was thinking to myself, like, have I ever? And I'm like, maybe I borrowed someone's guide pants when I was, like, on a moose hunt or something like that. But, like...
Especially with a crack pipe in the
pocket. Not with a meth pipe and a torch. And
you get the feeling the criminal was so desperate he didn't know what else to say, so he blurted out, these aren't my pants.
These aren't my pants. You'd be surprised ask a trooper sometime, like, hey, someone ever said these aren't my pants? And you're going to get an affirmative, like, yeah, I've heard it all.
Well, and you guys know, I mean, you know, it's detective work. Every one of you kind of knows when you see somebody and whether it's their mannerisms, their twitches, their responses, their initial contact.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your best advice for the average person? They know they did something wrong. Just be honest, right? You got a better chance. I mean, if it was whether you're speeding or you had one beer before you left, don't say I didn't ever have a beer. I mean,
well, yeah, I'll tell you exactly. This is when I first started off. I used to have this policy that the first person during every shift that was just dead honest with me, I would give them a warning. And you'd be surprised how many shifts you go through with nobody. They just wouldn't be honest.
Well, it's something. Yeah, honesty is the best policy. Well, I want to really thank you for joining us, Captain Spitzer. We have we just enjoy having you on the radio. I get a lot of feedback when you're on. I think people are starting to see we're turning the corner on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah,
you guys are really doing a good job. I commend your whole crew. And obviously it sounds like you need more of those good guys out on the street. So I'm really hoping that this continues. We got to keep Fairbanks a safe place to live. We're raising our families here.
Yep.
And, I mean, there's some bad elements out there. So if you see something, say something. And if you know somebody that wants to be a trooper or a dispatcher, call 907-451-5100. Could turn out to be a nice career.
Yeah, indeed.
All right, well, that's it for another edition of the Problem Corner. Don't know where Pruse is at. He's out of state. I think he's in Washington, D.C. But we will have him back soon enough. We'll be on next Monday. I'll be on. So enjoy the weather. Power through it.